Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. It's the Grace Curley Show, live from the Aviva Trattoria Studios. The new Aviva is opening in Malden on Wednesday, June 16th. Visit avivatrattoria.com/Malden. Now, here's Grace Curley.
I'm Holly Robichaud. Grace is off today. She'll be back on Monday. It's a beautiful Friday, and there's so much to talk about. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, hey, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And are you sick of everything being COVID? I blamed on COVID, and you won't believe what Bacon Hill is doing about blaming COVID and what they're trying to use the COVID excuse for. But let's first go to Steve. Steve, you're on next with Holly Robichaud. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, Holly. How you doing?
Great.
Well, my story with the COVID response from the Commonwealth, during the election, I had gone to my town. I live in Tingsborough to vote. And I had my mask on, you know, it's fully, you know, I got my shots and all that stuff. I still wore my mask as they required. I went in, tried to vote, and the woman looks at my form, and I'm listed, I'm a Republican. Well, I try to take out my pen out of my pocket to fill my ballot, and she goes, oh, no, you're not allowed to use that. You have to use one of our pencils. I said, well, why is that? She said, well, it's the cut of the spread of COVID. I said, well, wouldn't it be spread less if I used my own pen that I brought instead of one of your pencils that somebody else is going to use? She goes, oh, no, we throw them out afterwards. You can take the pencil home. I said, I don't want the pencil. I want to fill out my ballot and pen. She said, you're not allowed to. If you try to use your pen,
how
I'm going to have to ask
Steve.
You to leave. So I went and I called, I was shocked. So I called Bill Galvin's office and they said, oh, well, first of all, the woman said to me, what do you think? Someone's going to change your ballot? Do you think there's voter fraud? And I looked at her. I said, do you realize what's going on in this country? That there's voter fraud covering the entire country? She goes, oh, that's just a media hype. That's not real. I said, okay. So I called up Bill Galvin's office, and he says, well, you are allowed to use your own pen. I said, well, they said, you can do that next election. I said, well, what about this election? I said, there's been people, their votes are being stolen all over the country. I said, it's quite obvious. They said, and you're saying that it's okay, I can make it up next time? I mean, that's the response I got from the Secretary of State, Bill Galvin. I was, like, shocked.
Were you able to vote, Steve?
I did vote, and I did do it in pencil, but I was very upset the fact that, I mean, how do I, you know,
Did she follow you into the booth?
They were open. She walked right up and says, you can't, as soon as she saw me pulling my pen out, they approached me saying, you can't do that.
I mean, she shouldn't be in the booth, right? That's, you know.
No. Well, I was pulling my pen out as I was entering the booth, and she said, excuse me, which is ridiculous. I mean, I said, look, this is not against the law, using a pen, bringing your own, you know, writing utensil to the ballot box. She goes, oh, you know, it's against the rules. You're not allowed to do it. And the response I got is, well, yeah, she's wrong, but you'll just have to, you know, you can just take it on the chin and you can vote. You can bring your own pen next time.
The COVID has given, first of all, just like little people, a lot more power to go after everybody. I mean, I've been yelled at by cashiers, everybody on the whole COVID stuff. And now you whip out a pen. How dare you, Steve? You're a naughty person for whipping out a pen. I mean, and what difference does it make? I mean, they're just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And you're right to fill out that ballot and pen. I voted in person, even though I asked for an absentee ballot because I just wanted to see through the whole process. But Steve, thanks for that call. It's good to know what's going on out there. So Bacon Hill is in full pandemic panic because you know why? The emergency is being lifted next Tuesday. It's all over next Tuesday. So they had to rush. I know. Right. They had to rush through some legislation. So you won't believe this one, Jared. You should hit it again. Dun, dun, dun. Right. Because, I mean, get this, right? The legislature worked 2 days last week. It's a shocker, right? They actually had to do the Constitutional Convention. And then on Thursday, they had to meet again to do a supplemental budget. It was 2 days of work for them. It was shocking. So through the supplemental, they are trying to fix a couple things that would be lifted through the lifting of the COVID emergency. And really, they didn't need to do it. That's just my two cents. Let's go first to Chris. Chris, you're on next with Holly Robichaud. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Holly. Always a pleasure listening to you. I had a couple of things. One is with this millionaire's tax, they are like squirrels at the bird feeder. They have nothing better to do than to figure out how to get that food. And this is how they are with the taxpayers. Anything they do. He is also the same nitwit that came out, that's trying to change the state flag, which I haven't heard mentioned. And one more thing is, are you aware? I know you follow the legislature very closely. Are you aware that they passed basically an added welfare check? They're taking 100 people and they're giving them $1,000 a month for 2 years. How these people are going to be picked, they do not say. And if the program is successful, they tend to expand it. And this is all to do a study. This is to do a study to see if the $1,000 a month makes their life any better.
Yeah, $1,000 to me would make my life a little bit better, Chris. But I hadn't heard that, and we got to get Shauna back up there at the State House. Unbelievable, Chris, that they would do that. So infuriating, and that's why we call it Bacon Hill. Thanks, Chris, for that call.
That sounds like they want to try a universal basic income. Is what that sounds like.
Yeah,
they're launching that guy.
Yep. So the COVID emergency, when lifted on Tuesday, means that that the evictions, so they can people can start evicting. If you are a landlord, which I am, and this is why I don't do owning any property in Massachusetts, is because in the supplemental budget, they come back and say, oh no, if people aren't paying their rent, we're not going to evict them still. I don't know what these landlords are going to do. I mean, they're going to go bankrupt. I mean, this is just not good. Public meetings, they've been virtual. They're going to go back to public meetings being virtual. To-go alcohol will continue. Really don't think Mothers Against Drunk Driving would be supportive of that. I get the reasoning for doing it during the pandemic. Really not thinking open container, not a good thing, but just going to put it out there. So the legislature jumped into action because the COVID emergency is being lifted. And so they want to continue the virtual public meetings, the to-go alcohol, like I said, and no evictions. But they also threw in another thing in there that is so important. Mail-in balloting for municipal and state elections. That's right. Despite that, there's a couple of good Republicans here that are suing the state of Massachusetts because it's unconstitutional for them to do this. But hey, they are still doing the mail-in ballots. Yes, our Constitution says you have to vote in person, and there's only three reasons why not to. And they're trying to get around that. As you know, it's hard to do a constitutional amendment, but they're just skipping to it. So I watched the debate on this, and this time it was Representative Jack Lewis, not Jason Lewis. There's something wrong with the last name Lewis, or should I just say same difference? Doesn't matter which Lewis it is. He said, let me quote, there's no proof of election problems. Really? All elections are secure. Am I crazy? But weren't there some front page stories about how a ballot box in Massachusetts went up in flames Jared?
I remember that, yes.
Right. I think I'm going a little crazy. Wasn't there a story about ballots that weren't counted in the Markey Kennedy primary? Wasn't there a lot of ballots that weren't counted in a certain town? Yeah, no, there's no problems here. Everything's secure. Wasn't there a state representative that went to jail for voter fraud? But there's no problems here. Me personally, I've worked on campaigns. And so let me tell you, Jack Lewis, there are problems out there. And if you've ever watched it, it does happen. I'll never forget the election in one town here in Massachusetts where multiple people walked in and said they didn't know their name and they didn't know where they lived. And they were passing out ballots to them up until our team said, I don't think so anymore. And they basically threatened to arrest us if we didn't stop saying something to those people. But when we said that there were more people there and we had a lawyer on call, they stopped doing that. I've had another one where a ballot box was picked up out of the location and walked out of the ballot place. And, and we got lawyers and police involved in that. So, yeah, there are no problems. But also, for some reason, friends of mine who live in California got registration forms at my house. I still don't understand that. They don't live with me. They haven't lived with me. They haven't lived in Massachusetts for like 25 years. But at my new house, they're getting registration forms. I'm completely confused as how but there are no problems whatsoever with mail-in balloting. The R on the outside of the envelopes, that they were just trying to be helpful on that. And that wasn't for the primary. That was for the general election. My feeling is that's the ones that they knew to throw away were the R ones. But just in the security of the elections with mail-in ballots like that, I don't trust the security at the town halls. I'm not ranking on the town halls. I just don't think they're equipped for this. And seeing as the post office in the past 6 months has lost 10 of the checks of things that I've mailed that I've owed people, they've lost 10 of them. And I can't figure out which town it is that's doing this. I don't mail out of those two towns anymore because they keep losing it. And I never get the checks back. So I know it's a postal problem. So how do you check if your mail-in ballot made it? Anyways, I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back talking about this mail-in balloting situation. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, please give us a call at 844-500-4242. And we've been talking about how the legislature in the supplemental budget, because the COVID emergency is being done with on next Tuesday, they are passing really quickly this mail-in balloting up there at the State House. And I'm sure you didn't know it was coming up. Let's go to the callers right now. Marion, you're on next with Holly Robichaud.
Hi, Holly. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You made this quote by somebody that said there's no proof of election fraud. But it's like saying my house has never been broken into. I don't need to get a lock. It's important to keep my stuff safe, so I'm going to put a lock on my door. Even if there weren't proof of voter fraud, why wouldn't you want to do everything possible to do one of the most important things that we have? I mean, when in the legislature, for the Senate and the House of Representatives, don't they have to show up to vote? Either now, maybe virtually, but, you know, Elizabeth Warren, when she was on the campaign trail, she wasn't around, so she didn't vote for a bunch of stuff because she wasn't physically there. She couldn't mail in her vote. She couldn't send in a note. She couldn't call it in because it's important for these politicians, our elected officials, to actually be present to vote. So why is it such a problem for us to have the same kind of, or given the same kind of importance for our kind of vote?
I agree, and COVID's over. right? So people can go to the ballot. I mean, it's the most important thing that they're supposed to do, and they can go and vote. I mean, and make sure that these votes are counted and that they're secure. So I completely agree with you, Marion. Thanks for that call. Jared, I forgot. I was having a senior moment, I guess.
Yeah, no worries.
What's the polling question?
All right. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Allergy season is here. You've heard me talk about it. And you need the Thunderstorm air purifier. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE10 to save $10 off their lowest sale price. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE10. The question is, will you be paying the millionaire's tax? Yes or yes, but unexpectedly.
And how are we doing on that?
88% say yes, but unexpectedly.
Well, we got to educate that other 12%.
Yes,
so
we do.
We're doing better, though, because it was 80-20 beforehand. We got to do a better job educating. Let's go to next, Caroline. Good afternoon, Caroline. You're on with Holly Robichaud.
Hey, Holly, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if any of you viewers know, but I have a lawsuit.
Oh, Caroline Colarusso, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I just want your viewers to know that we have a partisan in the office of Secretary of State. We have our top election official is such a partisan that he cannot even answer questions from the Joint Committee on Election Laws. You want to know what's wrong with mail-in voting? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. There's a room in Boston where there are several ballots. We're hearing several hundred thousand ballots returned to sender from stale-dated voter lists that the Secretary of State has a responsibility for maintaining, but he hasn't. We asked him through the Joint Committee on Election Law, how many ballot applications are sitting there in that room in Boston? Do you know what his answer is? I don't know. Clearly, he hasn't watched Sesame Street and learned how to count from Ernie and Bert. When we
he's
were
had
small,
a little bit of time to count them,
return ballot applications.
He's had them. He could weigh them and count them, right?
All you got to do, Holly, is every tray of mail has X amount of pieces in it. I'm a former postmaster. He counts the trays. He multiplies the number of trays by the number of pieces in a foot. We have it. But there's a reason, Holly, he's not telling us this. And I believe he must come clean with the voters. I believe right now, and I'm going to make this public on your station, any legislation right now, whether it's the House or the Senate, should cease and desist until the Secretary of State comes clean and answers the 9 questions from the Joint Committee on Election Laws. No one is holding him accountable to do his job. His job is to tell us, be transparent about that election. Be forthright with the voters. Let them know what a disaster this mail-in voting was. But he won't, because they want to sneak it through again. It should stop right now in its tracks until the Secretary of State comes clean and answers all of those questions. And the Republicans there, whether they're in the House or the Senate, should demand that. They should demand it. And I'm going to be calling them, and you should call yours too.
All right. Well, thank you, Caroline. I know you've been fighting this. Where do people get a hold of you?
MERPAC, Massachusetts Election Reform PAC on Facebook. I'm going to post a letter from the Joint Committee on Election Laws. Your viewers can read it, and they can see just how irresponsible our Secretary of State is being.
All right. Well, thank you, Caroline, and thank you for all the work you're doing. I know that you've been funding this court battle and really doing a great job out there because somebody has got to take this issue on, really has got to take it on. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today on this Friday. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And before the break, we were talking about how Bacon Hill is rushing to pass mail-in balloting for the next municipal and state elections. Yikes. And how Representative Jack Lewis, I guess if you get the last name Lewis, it's pretty bad at the state house because you're a complete liberal, says they saw no problems, no irregularities. Everything was just super, super clean. Let's go to the callers. Joe, you're on next with Holly Robichaud.
Hi, Holly. I just heard you say that there was an R on the Republican envelopes. Was that in the 2020 presidential election, or is that what they're talking about on Beacon Hill?
So that was in the 2020 election. I got my ballot, and the return envelope on the outside, so you put your ballot in there, it had my return address on there, Holly Robichaud, and then it had an R underneath my name. And every Republican that I talked to also had an R underneath their name. So they were marking ballots, okay? Because I also noticed that for people that are unenrolled, they didn't have that on their ballot. I mean, on their return envelope. So, yes, they were marking ballots. And it wasn't for the primary.
Did the Democrats have a D on theirs?
That I don't know, because I didn't see any Democratic ballots, Joe. I don't hang out with them. But my understanding was that for every Republican I did talk to, they had the R on the outside. And it makes it easier to know which ones to throw away, doesn't it, Joe?
Yes. And I'm looking for concrete reasons when I discuss with people who say the election wasn't stolen. And that was a pretty good indicator that there are R's on the envelope. So that means refuse, throw it right in the trash.
Well, that was happening in Massachusetts, but in other states there were issues. And look, in Arizona, they are the Democrats are fighting the recount, the auditing of it. They don't want the election audited. I don't understand. If everything is so good, why not audit it? Because then if you audit it and everything was perfect, then you take away Trump's argument on the whole thing. So I don't understand why the Democrats wouldn't want to audit. I think I've worked in Pennsylvania. There were problems in Pennsylvania where you had 1.8 million people request a mail-in ballot and 2.5 million sent them back in. That's kind of impossible to do. So there were problems, and for us to now that COVID's over, say, okay, we're going to do mail-in balloting. No, we don't need to do that. The COVID's over. We don't need to do it. It's more costly. And whether you like it or not, there are a lot more ways in which ballots can go missing, whether it's intentional or not intentional. There's a lot of more avenues for there to be messing things that get messed up in an election. I know elections that have come down to just 4 votes, and you don't want to have somebody go, oh, they misplaced it in a town hall when they came in. You don't want it. Have you ever seen a postal room? They have tons and tons of pieces of mail that don't get delivered. And so you don't want to have that happen. Whether it's intentional or not, you need to cut down on the avenues possible for cheating. Look at what happened with the drop-off boxes, which that's not right, having drop-off boxes. But somebody poured gasoline and set a drop-off box on fire. There have been other ones that have just been stuffed with, I saw it in a different election where people stuffed tons and tons of ballots into the, when they were only supposed to be dropping off one ballot at a time. So there's a lot of different ways where there can be problems, and we should be doing our utmost to secure the integrity of the election. So,
right. Is there any tally on how many counties tallied more than 100% voting, 110, 120? Because that's a clear indication of voter fraud.
There is, and I believe I'd have to go back and check my notes on that, Joe, because I don't want to be wrong, but I believe some of that happened out in Michigan, that there were more people voted than they're actually registered to vote. Here in Massachusetts, they are going to try to do same-day registration, which is another avenue for, allowing people to cheat. And I just find all of this Very, very scary. Now, on the debate yesterday, up there at the State House, Minority Leader Brad Jones had this, he's made the following statement, which I'm not a big Brad Jones fan. Everybody knows that. It's kind of a little bit of a rhino. But anyways, he had some good points when he was debating. He said, "I'm a little shocked that we are doing this today as part of a supplemental budget. When we were told it was not the right vehicle, it should go through a committee process. It should be pre-conference. We're trying to do it through, a tight document and in an afternoon." I mean, and he basically said that, look, it doesn't, mail-in balloting doesn't belong in a supplemental budget. And he's correct. He's absolutely correct. Why they're doing that and why people, because the way they're doing it didn't have a voice in it. Because it didn't go through the conference, it didn't go through the committee process, so you didn't get to testify, you didn't get to call your legislator and say, hey, no mail-in balloting. Nope, the way they do things. And it's not like they've been super busy at the State House. This week was a big week for them. They met 2 days. There is no reason they couldn't have had a hearing and put this bill, the mail-in balloting, through the normal process. But nope, every single time, when it comes to cheating, the Bacon Hill is always doing it. They're cutting corners, right? Because they don't want to hear from the people. They don't want to do it through the correct process. God forbid that people actually call up and express their opinion to the people up the State House. Nope, they don't want to hear from you because you don't matter. It drives me crazy. I can't stand it, okay? I mean, at this point, I don't understand why we pay any legislative salaries because they also are, most of them are so, just go along with what the Speaker wants or the Senate President wants, and God forbid anybody have a different opinion, and if they do, they're going to get demoted. They're not going to get their nice parking spot. They're not going to get the extra aid. They're not going to get the extra pay for being vice chairman of a little dinky squat committee. Ugh. Well, one Democrat did have the guts to say something, right? There was one Democrat. Senator John Kenan, a Quincy Democrat, went to amend this supplemental budget, saying that it's, get this, right? So he was going after not the mail-in balloting, but he was going after one of the other caveats where they, the public meetings, saying that, look, for public meetings, they should be meeting in person, but they could still do the virtual stuff for the public so that they don't have to be there. But so I thought that was reasonable. Isn't that reasonable? I was shocked that a Democrat offered this. I thought it was reasonable. Yeah, of course, you know what they did. Reject. We're not going to do that. Bacon Hill just absolutely does not work for us. I find it disgusting. Now, you probably heard, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later in the program, but Maura Healey, of course, she had to get into the whole thing. Yes, that's the same Maura Healey. Come for your guns. Hold it, Healey. She sued Trump on every single thing. As an attorney general, she hasn't been able to get one. She hasn't been able to nab one Bacon Hill legislator for anything. And as you know, there's a ton of corruption up there. Not her. Nope. She can't seem to get that done. Well, the activist attorney general went and spoke to the Boston Chamber of Commerce, which is a bunch of liberals. But she went and spoke to them. And did she talk to them about business things, issues? Nope. Her top priority was to tell them to encourage businesses to support mail-in balloting. That's right. That was her talk to the Boston Chamber of Commerce. Nothing. She didn't talk to them about, hey, was it tough to survive the pandemic? Is there anything we can do? Did anything happen where the attorney generals could help you out? Because we know that you guys are all job creators. No, sirree. She goes, I think what has been made clear in the last year is that there are two forces in this country. those who are fighting to protect democracy and those who are trying to undermine it. I agree with that. She thinks, but I believe she's got it reversed. I believe that the Republicans are fighting to protect democracy and the Democrats are working to undermine it. I agree with that statement. She's just got it backwards on who's doing what. And I think that there's a business case to be made for involvement in this space. So she's encouraging the businesses to get involved in balloting. And corporations aren't supposed to be involved in elections. They aren't supposed to be. So is that a corporate contribution? I don't know. That could be, is she advocating for them to break the law? So she's urging these business leaders to support the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, a misnamed piece, and for the People Act to encourage their employees to participate through paid time off to vote. Paid time off. Is this going to be like family leave stuff? So we're going to pay people to go out and vote? Yikes. Anyways, I'm Holly Robichaud filling in for Grace Curley. Jared's telling me we got to take a short break, but we'll be right back. Want to hear what your thoughts on paid time to vote. Jared, are you going to get paid time to vote?
I certainly hope so.
So I'm Holly Robichaud. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud filling in for Grace Curley today. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 844-500-4242. Joining us right now on the hotline is David Johnson, my favorite pollster. He has a crystal ball like nobody else, and just wanted to ask him, Kamala was out of the country, Biden was out of the country, and just wanted to see what David is hearing, what he's seeing in the polls. David, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be on.
Hey, what are you seeing? Was the Kamala Harris trip a failure or success?
It was a total failure. It was a total failure. And I mean, not just Republicans are saying it, but even Democrats are saying it. The White House is saying that they could not believe how she came across, her responses, and the fact that she got angry with friendly media reporters shows you how bad it was. When a question from Univision or Lester Holt, she considers to be antagonistic, you know there is a problem with it. And her laugh is giving Republicans the greatest weapon going. One of the things that some candidates are doing is they're putting together just Kamala laughing every time she's asked an uncomfortable question.
Oh, that is like the worst sound. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard every time she laughs. And look, David, you also do media coaching. Wouldn't you be like coaching her not to do that? And why didn't the vice president of the United States be prepared for those questions and have talking points?
They should have been. It's almost like Joe Biden's team wants to throw her to the dogs and they fear let her self-destruct so they can replace her with someone else if he does run in 24.
Well, see, I've heard other rumors, right, that people are saying the reason why they threw her out there and she did so poorly is because that is the best prevention for people calling for Biden to step down because he's senile. So,
I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, we're going to see a full display, and we already are, with Biden overseas. He's the first foreign leader not to hold a joint press conference with the British Prime Minister when in the UK, and that's because it was past his big time, and he was jet-lagged. Can you picture Joe Biden, not only the Joe Biden that we know, who's always off kilter, but then jet-lagged as well, trying to do a press conference?
Well, okay, let's take it from a different standpoint. What if Donald Trump snubbed the Prime Minister of Great Britain? It'd be front page stories.
It would be all over.
Yes.
It would be all over the media nonstop, and that's all we'd be talking about.
Right.
How he snubbed another world leader, how horrible he is, how our prestige is taking a hit. Yet our prestige is taking a hit with Biden, and voters are beginning to see this. They're beginning to see that he cannot manage stuff overseas. We have the Chinese running rampant, the Iranians running rampant, and now he's going to go head-to-head with Vladimir Putin. Putin just needs to look at him, and he'll probably fall over.
I know. I am so scared. That is like one of those meetings where I think he is better off just canceling, saying, something came up. I got to go take care of the dogs back in Delaware.
But the worst thing is, too, the White House put out before this meeting is that he can take on Putin because he weightlifts in the White House. Try to counter, Putin, and his fitness regimen. All you have to do is look at the two of them and you can tell which one works out.
No, and Putin already challenged him to a debate. And Biden's like, yeah, no thank you. One of the things that's really bothering me, and I get a lot of questions from people saying that that Biden's popularity is, the polling numbers are showing that Biden is popular in our country. Is that true? Could that possibly be true? Or are we being fed phony polls, which they are skewing the results again?
They're skewing the results. They're skewing the questions as well. And the thing is, even if these polls are true or somewhat accurate and he has some type of popularity, the fact is he can't sustain it, not with inflation going up. I mean, just look at the gas crisis we're seeing. I mean, this is a replay of the 1970s. And this guy is in over his head, and it's a crime that they put up someone as senile as him to run for office.
Yeah, I blame his wife for that. But yeah, he is definitely senile. David, you always have some great insights. Where do people follow you? How do they get more information about you?
Definitely.
So they can see the crystal ball.
They can go to my website, strategicvisionpr.com. That's strategicvisionpr.com.
All right. Well, thank you, David, for joining us today on this Friday. Have a good Friday.
You too, and have a great weekend.
Okay. So, Jared, when we come back, I think I've got these like fun facts that little stories that people have missed, and you won't believe what Mitt Romney's up to again. So brace for impact. Yes, I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back after the short break.